Brought this message with me when the Lord gave it to me. I said, Lord, I'm going to have your help. Well, he started, I felt like, opening it up and helping us to see some things. And I'm going to tell you something tonight that I normally don't say in the pulpit. I'm going to tell you where this kind of started from and where it did start from. I got a phone call about, 2 weeks ago, I guess, from an older sister. She's in her late 70s, congregation several miles from here. She wanted to know some information. She's retired. She's lived through two husbands. And so she called me, and we were chatting a little bit, known her for several years. And so she began to tell me about she had hoped to be here in this meeting. Said she'd been tied down and couldn't go. And she told me why. She said, I had a cat. This cat, if I remember right, was 18 years old. This cat had had several strokes to the point that the cat couldn't even walk. Now, I know you think this would be funny, but just listen to what I got to say. Pray for me. So it got down to the point that she was rocking this cat, feeding it with a syringe, treating it just like a child. Now, I'm not belittling her at all. I'm not. Don't take me wrong. I'm not belittling her. I can't do that. Even though I got one cat. But she was taking care of this cat. And she had had it, I guess, about all of its life. And it had been a very good pet to her. So she was taking care of it in the end. She had a pillow on one side of the bed. Put a towel on that pillow. And that cat slept there on the bed with her at night. It would accidentally make messes on itself and so forth. And she would bathe this cat. I mean, she took good care of this cat. And she told me all about it. And when we got off the phone, I went, wow, what loyalty. All right, I want to talk about loyalty tonight. Now, there's no scripture in the Bible that I can find anyway that has the word loyal or loyalty in it. And that's why I tell the Lord, I said, I got to have some help here. And he began to open it up. And I want to talk about our loyalty tonight. How loyal are we to God and to ourselves and to one another and to our neighbors and all those that are around us tonight? How loyal are we to people? All right, let's open in Ephesians. Now, I'm going to take a few minutes to get to where I'm going. But I want to set as Brother Archie said, a foundation. And I want to read you the definition of loyal. That is, if I can get this to come up like I want it to. Well, I had a definition. I took a picture on my phone. Now I can't pull it up like it's supposed to do with a smartphone. That's not so smart tonight. All right, Ephesians 2 and 4. Ephesians 2, second chapter, fourth verse. I want to talk about God first a little bit and work on down from there. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. He hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Now then, the bottom line of loyalty, or the foundation of loyalty, I felt like the Lord showed me, was love. You and I, the whole thing is built on love. And so consequently, God said here, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Listen, folks, tonight, God loves you. God has been loyal to you all down through the ages. Some people say, well, part of the definition of loyalty is being faithful. So somebody said, well, he's been faithful, and that's true. But God is rich in mercy. He has great love, and that great love has caused him to be loyal to you and I. To stand by us, to help us. Even when we were out in sin, that mercy and that love reached out to us and done things that wouldn't have been if he had not have loved us. All right, Jeremiah 31:3. Somebody started. Several of the scriptures I've got tonight has already been read and used in the meeting. But it said, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Listen tonight, God's love is an everlasting, eternal. It goes forever and ever. It does not stop. There is people tonight, their loyalty has been there for a while. But because of certain things that happened, their love began to back up. And their loyalty began to back up. And they were not what they were at one point. Because they didn't have the love. Listen tonight, God's love is everlasting love. God's love is eternal love. I have drawn thee, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Then the greatest scripture in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen tonight, the God of love. He's a God of love. He's a God that reached down to you and I. He's a God that has done so much for you and I. He's been loyal to you and I. He has stuck by us through thick and thin. Listen, folks, tonight, you cannot charge God in any way and say that God has not been good to you tonight, that he has not stuck by you. There have been times that we've made mistakes and blundered, and Brother Michael was preaching the other night about going back to Bethel, I think it was. The bottom line was, he was there. He was standing there. He was waiting. His arms were open. And he said, child, come on. I will help you. I will bless you. Because he's loyal to us tonight, folks. He's loyal. We're his children. We're the ones that he's redeemed. The ones that he's brought out of sin. The ones he's set on the holy mount. The ones that he's placed in the church of God. Put us in the body and chose us and put us in a place. He is very, very loyal to his children tonight. And you and I are those children. And he's loyal to us. And the reason he's loyal to us is because he loves us. It's greater, wider, deeper than anything. You cannot get to the depths of his love. You can think about it. You can talk about it. You can sing about it. You can preach about it. And you still can't get to the bottom of it. It's a great love tonight. And he drew us, worked with us, and helped us. He's still doing that. He's loyal to us, folks, tonight. That loyalty is a loyalty that I want to bring out and bring to the point. It's been a loyalty that's gone with us all down through our life. Basically from the very beginning when we breathed our first breath. Let's go to Matthew 2:1. Matthew 2:1. Here's another angle of God and his loyalty to you and I tonight. This is telling, 2:1 of Matthew says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Now then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now then, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, the mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now then, instead of being warned of God. God's been loyal to us and we didn't know it, folks. Said being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now then, there is more than three instances, but to me there's three major instances in the Bible of where the devil tried to sidetrack our plan. Number one is right here. When the very beginning, when Christ was born, when the wise men went there, Herod done everything he could do to figure it all out, and he even went to the wise men or had them come to him, and he was going to do all he could do. Well, when he found out that the wise men done what they done, consequently, he killed a lot of babies and so forth, but the bottom line was, not only did he warn the wise men, but on down in here, he warned in a dream. And he told Joseph and them, you go and do so and so. Don't you stay there because the one named Herod is after the baby, so to speak. Listen, God has been loyal to you and I. He's been loyal to preserve this plan of salvation. There's a deal over in Arkansas there. And it's a deal talks about the Bible, how it's been preserved down through the years. And God has preserved the Bible, but the bottom line is right here, He's preserved this plan for you and I. He preserved this salvation. He got it all set and put into place for you and I. Oh, tonight, do we appreciate what God has done for you and I? Do we appreciate the work that He's gone to, the love that He's shown? Maybe you don't always jump and shout about it, but the bottom line is God has done so much for you and I in preserving us in every way. Now then, let's go to John 15 and 9. There's where God preserved it. Now then, let's talk about Christ a few minutes. Like I said, let me build something, then I'll get down to a point here. 15 of John, the 9th verse. It said, and the Father have loved you, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. 13 and 1 of John brings out the point here. He said, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world into the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. 15 and 13 of John. It said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love. Now Christ, he said here, as the Father have loved you, our Father have loved me, so I have loved you. Enter the second part. Christ, the one that made the plan, he loves us too. He's done everything he could do and he's been loyal to you and I too. And I have loved thee. Continue ye in my love. And he said that he loved them unto the end. Listen, folks, tonight, God has loved you right down, Christ has loved you right down to this point tonight. And then greater love that no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. There is no greater love than that. How many people do you know has given their life for somebody else? I'm talking about human for human now. I'm not talking about Christ here. How many people do you know? It has happened down through the years. There has been people that have done that, but it hasn't been very often. But the bottom line of Christ is tonight that His love goes further than that, praise God. It goes down to the very end, so to speak. He has stood by, worked with, called after, and done people and souls and calling after them and so forth with an everlasting love, drawing them with loving kindness, trying to get them to a place of salvation and working with them. And He's loved them and loved them and loved them down through the endless ages, so to speak. Oh, tonight, Christ has loved us with a great love tonight. He's been loyal to you and I, folks. He has been extremely loyal to you and I. All right, let's go to Matthew. Let's go to the 4th chapter of Matthew. Now, this shows the second place. Basically, that the devil tried to sideline this thing. I want to go now to the second and third place. The second place was at 4:1 of Matthew said, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward hungered. When the tempter came to Him, He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But He answered and said, written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh Him up into the holy city and setteth Him on a pinnacle of the temple. He said unto thee, saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now then the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now here is a second point, I feel like, that the devil done everything he could do to stop our plan. But the Lord, looking down, knowing what He had to do, He wasn't going to allow the enemy. He used the word of God. He used His power. He stood His ground. And He told the devil, no, no, no. But the bottom line was, He said He took him up and He showed him all the high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Tonight, the devil is still trying to show a lot of people the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. He wants to do that. He wants people, especially young people. He wants you all to see what's out there. He wants you to look at it. He wants you to desire it. He wants you to reach out after it. And the Lord is standing here saying, no, I've done rejected it. Listen, the devil done that. But the bottom line, it was all Christ to begin with. It all belonged to Him. It didn't belong to the devil. It all belonged to Christ. And He's saying here, get thee hence, Satan. Oh, tonight, the young people many times are lured and trapped by looking and thinking and considering what's out there. Tonight, I want to beg you that Christ was loyal right here. He did not allow this, any of this temptation to get to Him. He stood there and He told the devil by the word of God and He stood His ground. Listen, folks, tonight, you and I are going to have to be loyal to souls. We're going to have to stand our ground to tell them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. If they begin to waver, if they begin to move about, we're going to have to do everything we can do to help them. So the Lord was loyal. Let's go to Luke, the 22nd chapter. Luke 22:39. And He came out and went, and as He went, to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples also followed Him. And when He was at the place, He said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down, and He prayed, saying, Father, if thou wilt be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples, and he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Now, it doesn't say that the devil was here, but I could be wrong, but I figure the devil was right here working just like he was in the other places. He was trying to sideline it right down at the end, that the Lord was still loyal. He looked in the cup. I may be wrong on this, but I dare say that the devil helped the Lord consider and look into that cup of sorrow, of pain, of anguish, and of all the things that's in there, and look it over real good. He probably tried to manifest it and make it look better than what it was, and look it over real good. But the Lord, He wouldn't allow that to stop Him. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, Father. I'm not going to stop now. Listen, folks, He was loyal all the way to the cross, all the way through the scourging, all the way through the crown, all the way through the spitting, the reed that slapped Him, all the things that He went through, all the anguish and the pain. He didn't allow that to stop Him, because He was making a plan, and that plan was for you and I, and that plan, He was going to be loyal to you and I right down to the end. So He didn't stop. And tonight, because He didn't stop, we have a plan of salvation. A plan of glory. A plan of blessings. Oh, tonight, Christ's loyalty to you and I provides us with everything we need, spiritually and literally. It gives us all the food we need, the clothes we need, the home, the land, the cars, pickups, money, companions, children, grandchildren, family, job, businesses, boats, campers, retirement, friends, brethren. His loyalty has given us everything we've got tonight. Everything. He was loyal to you and I to bring it about. He was loyal to you and I to stand by us and help us to have these things. Is there anything you've got that didn't come from the Lord? On the spiritual side, the salvation, the sanctification, the healing of the heart, soul, mind, and body, grace, joy, love, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Listen tonight, He's been there on both sides for you and I. He has been there working to help you and I in every way that we need. And you and I cannot survive without His loyalty 1 second. Our life and breath depend on Him. He's consistent. Malachi 3:16 said, for I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Oh, tonight, Jesus has been loyal to you and I. He has been loyal to help take care of us in every way. We owe everything we've got to Him. He has not failed one bit. He has taken us and washed us. He's taken us and helped us to sleep. He's taken us and backed us. He's taken us and encouraged us. Paul said in one place, in my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me, but he said the Lord stood with me. The Lord was loyal to him as he was there, as he was doing his thing, so to speak. The Lord stood right by him and helped him and blessed him and worked with him. Listen tonight, he's loyal. He is one that will be loyal to you and I. Have you ever had people say, I'll stick with you, I'll go with you, I'll do this, I'll do that. And then you look around, one minister made the statement, he said they told him he'd be there. And he said he turned around and said there was nobody there. Paul said there was nobody there. They all forsook him. Oh, tonight. Tonight. He's loyal to you. He's standing by you. He's helping you. All right, let's go to Matthew 22:34. Now I'm getting down to my burden. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him questions, tempting him and saying, Master, which is a great commandment in the law? Jesus saith unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Of these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. How much do we love the Lord tonight? How loyal are we to God, to Christ? Our world is built, in a sense of the word, it's built on loyalty. Husbands to wives and wives to husbands. Parents to children, children to parents. A business and workers, workers in a business. Government to people, people to the government. Military and the soldiers with the military. Family with family, friends with friends, neighbor with neighbors, us with God, brethren with brethren. Our world is built on loyalty. How loyal are we? How loyal are we to God tonight? How loyal are we to the Lord? He said here, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Another place says, this is the first and great commandment. God knew that if you and I was going to be able to live for Him, we're going to have to love Him with all of our heart. Not some of it, not part of it, but all of it. Give Him everything. Give Him our whole soul, heart, mind, and body. Give it to Him. Dedicate to Him. Consecrate to Him. Give it all to Him and let Him have it tonight. Listen, folks, tonight, this will help you and I to be loyal in the tough time. It will help you and I to stick with Him and go with Him all the way down, to be faithful to Him, to be a blessing to Him, to help Him, to work for Him, whatever it might be. Oh, tonight, how loyal are we to God? How loyal have we been to God down through the years? Another angle of this is in our vows. In Psalm 50 and 14, it said, pay thy vows unto the Most High. Listen, that gets down into our consecration and our dedication of giving all to God. Have we given it to God? Have we consecrated? Have we dedicated? Have we given everything that the Lord would have us have tonight? Have we done that? Are we sanctified? Are we filled with the Spirit of God? Oh, tonight there's lots of people that have not been loyal to God because they haven't done exactly what they need to do. Giving to the meeting, going to meeting, revivals and camp meetings, prayer, Bible readings, reading the books of the print shop, giving of ourselves, giving of our means, our daily living, our dress, giving of ourselves daily. Have we been doing that? Have we been doing that? Would God, is He pleased with what that you have been loyal to Him about? How loyal are we to God? She didn't have to do what she did with that cat. She told me, she said, I could have put it down. But she said, I couldn't. I couldn't do it. I couldn't put the cat down. Well, I'd have to because I ain't got the time to do what she did. But the Lord tonight, folks, there's times that the Lord would be, it would look like be justified to walk away, but He didn't walk away. He stayed right there. He done what He needed to do. What about you and I tonight? Have you and I been to a place where we have walked away? Have failed and not done what we ought to do? And I'm not talking about going back into sin, but what about Jonah? When he done that, the Lord sent him down there and told him to go. And he went the other way. And he went from the presence of the Lord. And it got him into trouble. Listen, there's people down through the ages was not as loyal to God as they ought to be. They failed it. And part of that failure was the fact that they were not filled with the Holy Spirit. They did not have that power. They did not have it all consecrated and dedicated and given to God. And so consequently, when it come down, they did not have it to go through with. If the Lord was to give you a missionary calling tonight, would you do it? Oh, no, wait a minute, Brother Carl. No. Would you do it? Would you go to India? Would you go to Africa? What if the Lord was to give you a calling to teach Bible lessons to the older saints or to the children? Would you do that? What if he give you a calling to be an evangelist? Or what about a pastoralship? What if he just called you to sing? Be in singing in a group or be a song leader of a congregation or whatever. What about if he wanted you to, this is an easy one per se, to move to be in another congregation, small, and needed some help and some encouragement, and he wanted you to go there. Are we loyal enough to do these things tonight? If he would call you and say, I want you to do this, would you do it? Do you have that loyalty? Do you have that love? Do you have that consecration tonight for you to move out and to do the things that he wants you to do? When I was going to South Carolina, I prayed over it for quite a while. And one day the Lord come to me and he deals with me in, I don't know what you'd call it, direct way, I guess, to get my attention. And he spoke to me and he told me, he said, if you work for General Motors, and there was a General Motors plant in Oklahoma City, he said, if you work for them and they told you they were going to transfer you to Charleston, South Carolina, what would you do? I said, I'd go. He said, that settles it. Go. Go. Listen tonight. The Lord wants you and I to love him enough, to be loyal to him enough, that when he begins to set you in the body and put you where he wants you and begins to give you the gifts and so forth, do you have enough loyalty to do everything he wants you to do? Brother Murphy Allen one time was in a meeting somewhere, I don't know where, many years ago, and the Lord talked to him one day and he said, I want you to go down on the street corner and preach. He said, well, Lord, I don't have anybody to go with me. Don't have any singers, no congregation to go with me down there. And he kind of wanted to balk. And the Lord told him, said, I want you to go by yourself and do it. And he struggled with it a little bit. But he went. And the Lord blessed him. Listen tonight. How much loyalty do we have? How much are we willing to give? She gave a lot. And I know this is ridiculous in thought in a way, but she gave a lot to that cat. It was just an animal. This is God, folks. This is eternity. This is souls. This is our own soul. This is the souls of others. And God wants a body of people loyal enough that he can call us and we'll move and do as he wants us to do. How loyal are we to God tonight? How loyal are we to the Lord tonight? I want you to think, is there anything that he could ask you to do that you would pull back on tonight? And he's not going to give you something that you can't do. He's going to give the call. He's going to give the grace. He's going to give you everything you need as he works with you. He's not a ostrich God. He's not one that's hard. He's not one that does things that's totally out of order. It's always in order. But the bottom line is tonight, he's calling, he's working, he's wanting us, but he wants a loyal body of young folks and saints to do and to move as he calls and beckons us. Oh, how loyal are we to God tonight? How much love do we have for him tonight? Let's go to Exodus 19 and 5. Another angle of this. Exodus 19 and 5. Now therefore, if you'll obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now I said, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. How well are we doing in keeping the word of God tonight? I've been laying out the big stuff, but what about the little stuff? What about if he asked you to do something real small, like giving tracts out, putting tracts out, or going and visiting somebody, or sending a text message to somebody, or making a phone call to somebody, and doing these things? Do you have enough loyalty tonight to God to do this? Do you have the consecration to God to do that tonight? The Lord's interested in us moving as He bids us. Keeping the doctrine, doing the things. There have been times that people have, the Lord has wanted to move them up in various lines and so forth, and they cringed and they backed up on that, and they didn't want to do that in a period of time that'll get you in trouble. So Lord, help us tonight to keep and to do exactly what He wants us to do. Let's go to Psalms 103 and 17. Psalms 103. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. Oh, tonight, to such as keep His covenant. And to those that remember His commandments to do them. Oh, tonight, are we doing that? Are we keeping the word? Are we keeping what He's given us convictions on? Working with that. As He give those to us, are we keeping those? All right, let's go to the last angle of this and finish up. Let's go John 13, 34. Let's talk about you and I. Said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. But this shall all men know, that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. John 15 and 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is what has gotten... This is what has gotten people's attention concerning the church of God. Our love to one another. People have come to our meetings and they've looked at us and they've looked us over and assessed us, so to speak. They've watched us and been with us, and they said, one thing about it, you all love one another. He said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Who's your neighbor? We need to be loyal to all the brethren, from the youngest to the oldest. It can be the youngest or it can be the oldest that can try people. But to be patient toward all men. Let's go to Romans 12 and 9. Let me pick that one up right quick. 12 and 9 of Romans. It said there, let love be without dissimulation. No, that's not the one I want here. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And 13 and 10 said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is a fulfilling of the law. How loyal are we to one another? We're getting down toward the end, saints. And we don't know what it's going to be like at the end, but it's pretty bad already. But how loyal, how far will we go for one another? How far will we back one another? Brother Sammons was a barber. There's people here probably don't even know Brother Sammons. He was a barber. And one day he was cutting hair of a man, and there were several men in there. I think there were 6 chairs in that barber shop, if I remember right. It might have been more than that. And Brother Salmon said they were all talking about Brother Williams. So he said that I listened to him, and he said I cut all the way around till I got in front of the man I was cutting his hair. And he said something like this. He said, folks, he said, I know the man you're talking about. He said, I love the man you're talking about. I've got confidence in the man you're talking about. And he said, I'm standing with the man you're talking about. He said, that stopped everything right there. Everything stopped. There wasn't no more talk about it. The whole thing changed right then. Listen, folks, tonight, there is times that you and I are going to have to stand flat-footed with one another when it ain't popular to do it. When people may want to gun you down, so to speak, when people may want to talk bad about you, we're going to have to stick side by side and stand right there and say, I love them, I know them, I'm standing with them, I'm one of them. I am one of them. I'm part of that group of people. I believe just like they believe, and I'm standing just like they stand, and I'm not going to change. Oh, tonight, do we have loyalty enough to one another to do that? There have been people down through the years that didn't have it. The Alamo. The Alamo had a group of soldiers that were coming, and they knew it. That were going, they figured to destroy them. They had another regiment that was supposed to come and join up with them and help them in the battle. But the one coming, that was the ones that was going to work with them, was a little bit behind the other group. So they drew a line. All the men in the fort drew a line. Or they drew a line. And then he said, all you, I believe it was, that is standing with me, said, I want you to step across this line. And they all stepped across the line except maybe one man. It's been several years ago since I was down there. One man. They all stuck together, folks. It cost them every one of their lives. They slaughtered every man in there. But they stuck together right to the end. You may say, well, this don't amount to much, Brother Carl. Yes, it does, folks. Listen, folks, we're a body of people that is bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're kept by the grace of God and the power of God. And He wants us to stand together and work together, live together, give of ourselves together, so to speak. When somebody's hurting, weep with them that weep. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Listen, folks, tonight, there's times that the body is hurting, and we need to be there to help them and to stand by them any way they need it. If somebody makes a big mistake or a little mistake, we need to have enough love and loyalty to forgive them and stand by them. Watch them in the Word of God. Whatever they need tonight, be right there with them. Let them know I love you. Let them know, I want to repeat that I love you. I love you. I'm standing with you. I've forgiven you. Remember 2 Corinthians over there where it talks about that the man had done a pretty bad sin and got him in trouble and they were dealing with that. But Paul come along and he let them know you need to forgive him and you need to let him know that you love him and that he's forgiven, lest the enemy get an advantage of him. The devil's going to be there every chance he can to get any advantage to hinder you and I in working together if he can do it. And he'll get somebody to walk out the door and go another way if we're not standing one with another. In my study, and I hadn't even thought about this, in my study of grief since Rebecca Ann passed, Doug Manning made a statement. Him and his wife was out traveling one time. They've done a lot of traveling. But he said in there, they got to talking about people that had one time been members of the church, of a different bodies, not just one body, but of different congregations in the world, so to speak, or in Babylon, however you want to say it. And they got to talking about it, and they said, but they quit going. They left over here, and they left over there, and they left over there, and they left over there. What was the problem? And they got to analyzing it, and I guess they got to doing some questioning and some digging, and they found out the reason those people had left is because when those people got in grief, the people didn't stand with them. The pastor wasn't with them. The congregation wasn't with them. And they didn't know what to do but walk off, and they left. One pastor made this statement. He lost his son, I believe it was, in an accident. And he said, folks, he said, I'd have walked away too. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. The Lord has been so loyal to you and I. He has stood by us through thick and thin. Amen? Have you ever felt forsaken by God? Anybody felt forsaken by God tonight? But what about you and I? How loyal are we in helping one another? Someone loses their job. Someone is discouraged. How do we react if we hear about that? Do we get there and we do things? When somebody is sick, one time when I was serving as pastor here, I think we had six people sick at the same time, and it wasn't colds neither. And one morning, Brother Bob Salee got up and he said, folks, he said, we've got to help Brother Carl out. There's too much for one man to do. We've got to get in there and help him. And they did. The Lord wants us to stand by those. Let them know. If you are, can we do better? Can we send them the cards? Can we give them the calls? Can we give them the visits? Now then there's text messaging. That wasn't even available back then. Can we send them food or bring them food? Flowers? Whatever it might do to help to care for them. Can we do that? Oh, how are we standing by one another? How loyal? People will judge your loyalty by your actions sometimes. Oh, tonight, how loyal are we to God? How loyal are we to one another? How loyal are we to people out in sin? People that we know, work with, whatever it might be, that you would like to help to get saved and help to come to meeting and so forth. Could they say that you're loyal to them? Could they say that you've been right there? Or could they say, well, no, not really. How's our loyalty tonight? Let's stand and have a number. I appreciate your prayers, attention, and time tonight.